What if the person sitting next to you at work harbors a secret life you know nothing about? Max Dupree discovered this truth when his father visited the widow of a longtime Herman Miller employee, a millwright who had recently passed away. As they spoke, the widow shared something unexpected, her husband's beautiful poetry, verses he'd written for years without anyone at the company knowing. The Dupree family wrestled with a haunting question. Was he a millwright who wrote poetry, or a poet who worked as a millwright? This story isn't just a touching anecdote. It's a mirror reflecting how we see everyone around us. How many accountants might be gifted musicians? How many engineers harbor profound philosophical insights? Leadership begins the moment we recognize that people aren't just their job titles. They're infinitely complex beings carrying diverse gifts that traditional workplaces often bury. When we create environments where people can reveal their whole selves, the millwright and the poet, we unlock possibilities that transcend conventional productivity. True leadership means polishing and liberating these hidden talents, preventing them from wasting their sweetness on the desert air. A leader's first responsibility is defining reality. The last is saying thank you. Between these bookends, the leader becomes servant and debtor, a complete reimagining of what leadership means. Leaders owe specific debts to their organizations: clarity about values that shape behavior, identification and nurturing of future leaders, responsibility for quality, and openness to contrary opinions. Most fundamentally, they owe a covenant, a reference point for what caring, committed people can be together. This covenant transcends contracts, creating space for meaningful work and genuine human connection. Consider momentum, that palpable feeling that your work moves toward legitimate goals. It emerges from alignment between what an organization says and does. When people sense this alignment, they bring their deepest commitments. Effectiveness comes through enabling others to reach their potential, not through command and control. This covenantal relationship transforms work from mere employment into meaningful participation in a shared enterprise. Remember being assigned an instrument in school band? Not by choice or talent, but because you could carry it? Organizations that ignore individual talents fail their own needs, like that child struggling with an unwanted trombone. For meaningful work, people need specific rights. The right to be needed connects contributions to organizational purpose. The right to be involved requires genuine openness to others' influence. The right to understand means comprehending the organization's mission, your career path, and where you fit. The right to be accountable means contributing to group goals and having contributions measured against clear standards. The right to make a commitment becomes possible when you can answer yes to, "Is this a place where they will let me do my best?" These aren't entitlements, but conditions enabling people to bring their best selves to work. When organizations honor these rights, both individuals and institutions thrive. When they don't, people show up physically while remaining absent in every way that matters. During an Easter service, a man collapsed. The church's formal hierarchy froze, but a paramedic immediately restored breathing while doctors tended to fainting children. Leadership flowed to where it was needed most, transcending organizational charts. This is roving leadership, where influence flows from competence rather than position. In hospitals, nurses guide senior doctors on unit-specific protocols. In tech companies, junior developers lead critical projects because of specialized knowledge. Organizations need both hierarchical leaders and roving leaders who take charge in specific situations. This requires hierarchical leaders to show grace, stepping back when others have deeper expertise. Emergency response teams shift leadership based on the crisis. Fire chiefs defer to hazmat experts for chemical spills. Hazmat teams follow firefighters during structural fires. For this to work, formal leaders must create environments where expertise is recognized regardless of rank. When organizations embrace roving leadership, problems get solved by those best equipped to address them, and people experience the dignity of contributing their unique gifts when those gifts are most needed. A restaurant owner learned a customer received poor service. That evening, he personally delivered dinner to their home. This wasn't policy. It was intimacy with work, the kind that breeds exceptional competence and care. Intimacy forms the heart of competence, understanding, believing, and practicing your relationship to work. True intimacy means grasping both the skills and art of a job. Beliefs precede policies. Managers with methodology but no beliefs cannot inspire commitment. Organizations reflect what we want ourselves to be. Intimacy develops through becoming comfortable with ambiguity, living with questions rather than knowing all answers. While contracts cover working arrangements, covenantal relationships induce freedom. They rest on shared commitment to ideas, values, and goals, enabling work to have meaning. Covenantal relationships tolerate risk, forgive errors, and welcome unusual people and ideas. When we work intimately within a covenantal relationship, we become a gift to the spirit, to ourselves, and everyone around us. When electric lights arrived in a Nigerian village, families abandoned tribal storytelling to stare at bulbs instead. Without these stories, the tribe lost its history and values. Organizations face the same danger, replacing tribal stories with manuals and metrics. Herman Miller's enduring values include commitment to design, societal contribution, quality as truth, realized potential, and responsible resource use. These shared values create a covenant, enabling effective collaboration. But values erode as entrepreneurships become corporations, then bureaucratic institutions. Giants preserve values by seeing opportunity in trouble and giving others space to flourish. George Nelson championed hiring Charles Eames despite limited royalty potential, recognizing the company needed both their talents. Eames became the greatest furniture designer since Chippendale. Giants also catch fastballs, like skilled model makers who transform ideas into prototypes. Without giant catchers, there can be no giant pitchers. Renewal comes through genuine service to others, not self-perpetuation. Everyone must ensure that manuals and light bulbs never replace the stories binding us together. We often mistake parts for wholes. A panel assembler once corrected Dupree's reference to the 95-yard dash. It's actually 110 yards. Running the full distance means thinking beyond the whole to achieve true excellence. Just as we see only fragments of people at work, missing their completeness, short-term financial views distort our understanding of what corporations can be. Elegant leaders reach for completeness. They understand that contracts are parts of covenant relationships, that wisdom discovers truth beyond facts, that hierarchy and equality can coexist, and that forgiveness enables freedom. Future leaders must possess consistent integrity, value diversity, remain open to contrary opinions, and serve as tribal storytellers who explain why rather than just how. Most importantly, elegant leaders understand emotions' place in organizational life. Grown people should weep over triumphs and tragedies, admirable actions and deplorable ones. People who don't weep likely aren't intimate with their work. These marks of elegance create environments where people become what they're meant to be, millwrights and poets, all at once.